trials and tribulations. They have to be put to test. أَفَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. People think that we will furnish the road for them to paradise without being put to test. That would never happen. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Each and every community on earth has been tested, put to trial. Some succeeded, some failed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about my creation and your creation that we have been created من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه, from a mixed drop. Mixed drop? Microscopic? What does mixed mean here? Mixed has a biological meaning. It means the female ovum and the male sperm when it fertilizes the ovum. That is the biological meaning, scientific meaning. But there is a much deeper spiritual, philosophical meaning to this, to the term mixed. من نطفة أمشاج. أمشاج is mixed. To put him to test. So what's the meaning of mixed here? It means a relentless struggle, always conflict between good and bad. This is how we created him. This is how he meant to be throughout his life. And tell me today, who is facing the biggest challenge among the age categories? It is you, the youth here. You walk on a minefield in this life. Your path is not paved with flowers. It is not easy. Many youth come to me and tell me, we have a crisis in our life. We have a problem. You are not alone. You are not alone. Even the prophets, even imams, even righteous disciples of imams, they had the problems in their life. So how do we identify the challenges that we face in order for us to prescribe a solution, share some solutions tonight? We have to identify the challenges that we face. And we have many challenges. Challenges that our young generation, the youth, are facing is multi-dimensional, not one or two. Some of them are in the family, with your family. I'm sure that many people of you, they have problems in the family. Some of them with the school and education. Some of them if you are working with your job and earning. Some of them with your friends, with your partners, with the community around you. But your immediate problem could be with your family members. In the family, brothers and sisters, we have two generations. The old generation and the young generation. And they always cause this generation gap. This is a very outstanding and ever-increasing problem every day, especially for the Muslims and the Arabs who live in the West, in Europe, who live in America. We have a huge generation gap. Two different mentalities, two different understanding, two different approaches. Some of you were born here. Some of you came to this country at a very young age. You developed a very distinguished personality from your parents, from your mother and father. And here, let me share something only with you, not your parents. I will talk to your parents later, inshallah, maybe in two nights. But tonight, let me address you, the youngsters, the new generation. Some of the youth, not all, some of them, when it comes to dealing with their parents at home, they are very inflexible, they are very stubborn, they are very arrogant. And they follow the famous saying, in America they have a famous saying, either my way or the highway. Either what I want, what I believe in, or I would leave the house, I would leave the family. That is not the Islamic way of doing things. The family, brothers and sisters, is a venue of shared struggle and responsibility between the parents and the children. But unfortunately, some of the kids at home, they are very careless, very irresponsible. Their job at home is not to help, but to stay in bed for long hours. This is the hobby of many of our children today. Sleeping. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْرَهُ الْعَبْدَ النَّوَّامِ. Allah hates to see his servant who is full of energy, potential and power to spend much of his time in bed, snoring. Allah does not like to see you in bed at this very young age. This is the age of work, productivity, not the age that you sleep in bed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَكْرَهُ الْعَبْدَ النَّوَّامِ. Some of them do not work, do not produce. The only good thing they do is to eat and drink at home. They don't help their parents. See, we have two extremes. On the one hand, in some families, when their children live with them, even at a very young age, they charge them the rent. We have in our neighborhood in LA, a neighbor who has a daughter, she studies. The other day she came to my house and she told us, I pay rent to my parents. I pay $300. She's a student, but she still has to pay rent to her father. Imagine, this is too extreme. And on the other hand, we have people who consider the house as a five-star hotel. The food is ready, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and sometimes between breakfast and lunch there is, you know, another meal. Between lunch and dinner there are at least two meals, you know. And the bed is ready, everything is cleaned. Their dress is being cleaned for them, prepared for them. In return for what? Not even they greet their parents. They don't thank them, they don't appreciate them. This is carelessness. This is not an Islamic youth. This is not an Islamic living. And the family is structured on harmony, mutual understanding, mutual respect, cooperation in the family. Otherwise, the family would not be called a family. And some of the youth, they don't even try to understand their parents. They use harsh language, disrespectful language against their parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَارْتِفَاعِ مَكَانِي. I take an oath by my sublimity, by my glory. لَوْ أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ عَمِلَ بِأَعْمَالِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ جَاءَنِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَاقًا لِوَالِدَيْهِ كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيَّ أَنْ أُكِبَّهُ عَلَى مَنْخَرِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ. If a person practices all the good deeds, the prayers, fasting, hajj, charity, but he misses one major one, he's not dutiful, respectful to his parents. I would never accept any good deed of him. I would erase them. I will send him nosedive into the bottom of hellfire. Be very careful of your attitude at home. You would not be a good Muslim with your friends if you are not good with your parents. Goodness begins where? Where? With your parents first. If you are not good with your parents today, tomorrow you are not going to be good with your husband or with your wife or with your kids. Goodness begins first. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And then he went straight to your parents. Me and your parents. And اشكر لي وَلِوَالِدَيْكِ. If you want to be grateful to me, you have to be grateful to your parents. But unfortunately, sometimes the problem is with the parents. Because they spoil their children, they indulge them, too much indulgence. And unfortunately, the child reaches the age of 17, 18, 20, he's still irresponsible. The more you spoil your child, the more he will take you for granted and take everything for granted. Takes food for granted, money for granted, shelter for granted. And that the more he or she would develop sense of irresponsibility. Ask your parents, the first wave of immigrants who came here. Ask them about their circumstances, how they lived, how they coped here with this life. They suffered poverty, loneliness, nobody knew them. Islam was not present in Britain or America. They lived alone, segregated from the rest of the society. But they produced, they survived. They lived in a very harsh conditions. Ask them. Go home today and ask your mother, your father, when they came here first. But with the new generation, everything is available for them. They don't appreciate. You don't appreciate. So, number one, in the family, you have to be responsible. You have to have the best role in the family. As I said last night, you have to be the jewel of your family. You have to produce. You have to take care of your time. Don't waste your time in the family at home. Don't waste your time. Ali ibn Abi Talib, may the peace and the blessing of Allah be upon him, he says, أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ بَعْضُ أَيَّامٍ. You are composed of numbered days. Numbered days, not numbered months or years. Numbered days. فَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ يَمْضِي فيك يَمْضِي بِبَعْضِكَ. Each day passes by, it is taking some of your substance away from you. You are losing here. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. لَفِي خُسْرٍ. We are losing. So be careful with your time. Be careful. I repeat this. A good Muslim is not the one. You need 7 or 8 hours of sleep. Don't make it 17. Don't make it 15. Don't make it 12. Don't make it even 10. Don't make it 9. Don't make it 9. Allah created you, designed you. He said, this is the number of the hours you need. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. Many of you stay up late the whole night and then you want to sleep during the day. That does not work. You are going against God's design here. Allah says, I created night for you to sleep, to rest. Don't do the opposite. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, a cover, a rest. وَالنَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. During the day you have to produce, you have to work. Wake up early. Begin your days. Begin the day with the prayers, with the salat. Immediately after today, one of the youth, he asked me, Sayyid, what do you advise me? I said to him, advice are a lot, but take this with you. When you do morning prayers, make some room for dua al-sabah. How many of you know the dua al-sabah? Raise your hand. Let me see. How many of you are familiar with this supplication? The morning supplication, dua al-sabah. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Maybe we are responsible. We don't teach. We don't teach. We are not good at teaching. Yes, this is our shortages, not yours. The scholars, the teachers, the ulama, we are not doing enough. This is one of the best supplications. Try to read it tomorrow morning when you wake up, when you do the prayers. Read Dua al-Sabah and see the way Amir al-Mu'mineen, this person who went very deep and deep and deep into recognizing his Lord, his Allah, and establishing the best relationship with him. See how he speaks to Allah. اللهم يا من دلع لسان الصباح بنطق تبلجه وسرح قطع الليل إلهي إن لم تبتدئني الرحمة منك بحسن التوفيق فمن السالك بي إليك في واضح الطريق. If you don't guide me, if you don't hold my hand, if you don't show me the way, who is going other than you to guide me, to be merciful to me? Begin your day with these prayers. Those who have low self-esteem, those who are depressed, dua and prayers makes you the most powerful person. Try it. Try it for a few days and see the effect on you, on your soul. Then we go to other dimension of our problem. Problems with the school, with education. I know some of you, not all of you, many of you, the vast majority of you are doing very well in the school. But some of you, and I've been asked by some parents to address this issue, some go to the school in the beginning, very passionate about it, very serious about it, hard working. They take classes very seriously, but after a period of time, they start dropping out. They lose that desire, they lose that passion to learning and education. Ultimately, they leave the school without finishing their school. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Fadlul ilmi ilay ahabbu min fadlil ibadah." Ahabbu min fadlil ibadah. Do you know that? To be a person with faith and knowledge gets you much, much, much faster and closer to Allah than being with only faith without knowledge. One day when he came to his mosque and he built the mosque with his own hand, he saw two circles. One, only praying. The second, they are worshippers, but this is how they exhibit their worshipping, through discussing knowledge and ilm. He said, both are good. But my aim and my goal is this one, the one who is studying and discussing ilm and knowledge. Don't think that since you are a religious person, you don't need to study. The religious person has to study more and more and more, has to imitate and emulate Rasulullah and his knowledge, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Sadiq. Imam al-Sadiq says, لَوَدَدْتُ أَنِّي ضَرَبْتُ رُؤُوسَ أَصْحَابِي بِالصَّوْتِ. Sometimes I wish that I can physically hit my disciples to force them not to waste their time to go and study and read and learn. This is Imam al-Sadiq. Don't compromise knowledge. Don't. The Prophet says, your value today, our value is assessed according to our knowledge. To the ilm and knowledge that you carry with you. Today, the secret of your success in this life is this. Intelligence. And who feeds your intelligence? The knowledge and ilm. The school that you go to. So do not underestimate this. لو يعلم الناس ما في طلب العلم لطلبوه ولو بخوض اللجج وسفك المهج. If they know how much reward they receive, if they pursue knowledge, they would go after knowledge even if they swim the oceans alone and take the risk, expose themselves to risk and danger, they would still go after it. This is the ilm. Brothers and sisters, you live in a country where universities, colleges, higher education is available. Go to Iraq. I was in Iraq the other day. We just established a university, private university in Karbala. This is the very first private university after the fall of the tyrant. In Iraq, they have 18 universities, which belongs to the government. This is the very first private one. You know how many people we received? Hundreds, probably thousands of people who are thirsty for knowledge and learning. They came, but there is no place for them. You take things for granted here. You live in a country, next door there is a university, you don't care about it. You take it for granted. Go to the Middle East and see how much people want to learn, but unfortunately there is no higher education available for them. You have to appreciate what Allah has given you here. Allah brought you to a place not to go to the nightclubs, not to waste your time in Edgewar Road and the cafes and restaurants, but to go to school, to go to university. To go to the Islamic center to learn. So this is the second. One more thing I want to add here to this dimension, and that is some people, they prefer to leave the family at a very young age because of their schools. They want to travel to the school at the age of probably 17, 18, be away from their families. I'm not saying I'm against that. All what I'm going to say is that you still need your family. You still need your parental support, parental care. A dosage of your parental support is so necessary for you, whether you are male or female at this young age, at this tender age. You still need to be with them. So if you can stay with them, even if you drive for 30 minutes, an hour, more than that, it is still worth it. Your mother and father, if they are good, they would provide you with things that others are unable to provide you. So stay in the family. A man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This type of voice is really incompatible with this tonight, with this night. So I need a much, much higher voice than that. He came to him, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'd love to go and study, but I have to go somewhere far. I have parents. I'm the only one in the family. What is your advice? Should I leave my parents? They are so attached to me. My mother loves me. My father cares about me." The Prophet says, "Ud ilayhima, fawalladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadih la'unsuhuma bika laylan wa yawman wa layla khayrun min jihadi sanatin kamilatin fi sabilillah." Go to your mothers. Go to your father. Staying with them for one day, one night, being with them, bringing delight to their hearts, is even much worthier and better than spending one whole year struggling in the way of Allah, struggling, not playing, struggling. And then we come to another dimension, that is the social problems with the friends. With friends, with community members. Some of those friends are good and some are bad. Some parents work hard to educate their kids, to protect them for 10 years, 20 years. But then that son or that specific daughter associate themselves with a bad person. Bad friendship is very contagious. Be careful of that. Be careful. Sometimes your friends, they influence you when you are unaware. They put you to sleep. You don't know what they are doing to your life. Be very careful. And these things result in catastrophe sometimes. I see sometimes many youth, many Muslim youth. I'm talking about Muslim youth today. Many Muslim youth, they develop depression. They live sometimes, I see some youth, unfortunately. I see some youth in our community, Muslim community, in Muslim families. They live on antidepressant pills. Prozac and Paxil and whatever. And you know, he's youth, he's still young. She's youth, 18, 20 years old. Most of it is a reaction to what we see around us, to what we feel, to what we experience. Most of the depression that this young generation develop is because, maybe because of an emotional setback. You know, the youth, they are emotional. We cherish our social relationships. Something happens to them, they are in love, involved in love with deep feeling with someone, not at the right time, not with the right person, because of this breakup of this relationship. Or maybe the love is only one-sided, you know. He thinks that way and she thinks the other way, completely in opposite direction. He thinks that she's really cares about him while she's with another person, her feelings are somewhere else, and he lives in this sensation, false sensation. And then suddenly he realizes that they are emotionally different, separated. This is what causes depression. Let me tell you three things about this. Number one, if any one of you, male or female, brother or sister, if you fail in one relationship, that is not the end of the world. Don't think that your partner, who was supposed to be your future partner, was the best person on earth. This is hallucination. We don't have this person is the best person on earth. We don't. Allah did not vest all the physical beauty in one person. So don't call her beauty queen. Don't call him he's the most handsome. Allah does not vest, put all the beauty in one person. There are other people who are similar. Allah does not put all the perfection, all the good manners, all the beautiful attitude in one person. No, that goes against his justice, against his system. So don't be despair, despondent. Don't be confused. Don't be depressed when you lose a friend. Friend here, I mean the opposite sex, huh? You know what I mean? Not any friend. Don't be depressed about that. Because some people come to me and he tells me, a man came to me, he called me actually, he didn't come to me, he called me, he said, my female dumped me, my female partner, my girlfriend, she dumped me. What shall I do? I'm thinking of committing suicide. I told him, don't go to Iraq now, please, stay here, stay in America. There are enough people, you know, committing suicide there. I was told a Bedouin in the desert in Saudi Arabia, he lost his goat, he went to Iraq and committed suicide, you know. So, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Don't think of being despaired and having no way out of that. Don't do that. Be responsible. Be mature here. Maybe Allah did not want you to go through this relationship. Don't think about killing yourself and damaging yourself. He thinks to go to Golden Gate Bridge and throw himself into the ocean, but unfortunately he goes and he changes his mind and he comes back. Number one. So all the beauty or perfection is not vested in one male or female. This is an illusion. Number two, we have to have a strong faith, and I will mention this inshallah, maybe tomorrow, the night of the marriage. I will mention that. Put your faith and a trust in Allah sometimes, because Allah loves you. He has another, a different plan for you, not that specific person. And this is what we say in the dua, وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَبْطَأَ عَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ وَخَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمَكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. God, maybe you knew better that this relationship was not working for me. You saw ahead of me that the life was very turbulent. So you did not allow this relationship to continue. Maybe Allah loves you. Have faith in Allah. Maybe Allah designed another person for you. Number three. Brothers and sisters, wake up. Listen to this. Listen to this. These cohabitations, temporary relationships, are short-lived. If you have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and you think you would live with her, with him, for a long time, you are mistaken. You would not live with them. Because why? If you do not turn that relationship into a permanent one, real marriage, if you do not turn it into a relationship of responsibility, Because between boyfriends and girlfriends, there is no responsibility. There is no serious relationship. There is no serious life. So if there is no responsibility, that relationship will doom to fail. So don't be depressed, because you follow the path that you knew in the beginning. You knew that this path is not safe. This is only short-lived. I encourage you, many of you, you think you are not mature enough. You think you are not independent enough. If you talk about absolute independence, no one, even Prophet Muhammad, is not independent. Even the Imams are not. We speak about relative independence here. When we say you are independent and you can make it, you can marry, you can be responsible, you can be a mother, you can be a father, relatively. So if you have this potential in you, do not hesitate. Don't waste your time in other relationships. This is waste of time. This is waste of time. Because the result is that you resort to antidepressant medications. The result of that is smoking, is shisha and argila. Many of you are doing that, unfortunately. Or drugs. And let me mention smoking and this pipe water here, the shisha. It is not just an ingestion of smoke here. This is not the problem. When you smoke, this is not just this gesture. There is something behind it. This is smoking and argila are associated with a culture, a broad culture of rebellion, of confusion, of depression, of wasting your time and health and energy, a culture of corruption. Where do you find the shisha? Do you find it in an intellectual setting? Do you find it in your professor's room in the university? Where do you find it? Do you find it in a religious circle? You don't find it there. Where do you find it? Tell me. Where is the shisha? In the cafes, in the restaurants, in Edgewell Road. This is the place. So that's part of the culture, bad culture. Don't tell me, Sayyid, I am the most honorable person, but yet I smoke shisha. I believe you, but I tell you that this shisha would lead you one day to the wrong direction. Because people who do that, you are associating yourself with a different company. And one day you would not resist. One day they will snatch you and take you, put you into their direction, the wrong direction. Besides, look at the ramifications of smoking here. Today, surveys tell us that 30% of all adults in the whole world are smoking. Constitute 1 billion smokers today. 1 billion. You know this? The tobacco industry only in America is $83 billion a year. $83 billion a year. Imagine if we spend this money on building hospitals, clinics. Even in America, even inside America, you know how much poverty we find in America after this incident, the hurricane? You know how much secrets revealed, how many poor people and deprived people we have there? So you spend this money on schools, on education, saving the kids and saving the youth. And unfortunately, an increasing number of teens are getting used to this. They're becoming regular smokers. Here in England, among the Muslim community, in North America, among the Muslim community. Some of the youth, they want to assert their rebellion, their authority, their maturity through smoking. If you don't smoke, you are not a man. This is their philosophy. But remember the results. Before you do anything, think about the consequences first. On your health, on your heart, on your lung, on your brain, on your personality, on your future. That is not the solution. The solution to run away from social problems is not smoking, is not drugs, is not the shisha in Edgewell Road. That is not the solution. This is just a painkiller. This is not a solution. You think this is a solution. smoking and drugs, they maybe infuse a false sense of relaxation, a fake sense of floating sensation, not real. They harm more than they help. They enslave more than liberate. Don't think that when you use drugs, that's it. You are a queen, you are a king. You have no more problems. You don't realize what you are doing to yourself. Don't play with the fire. Don't go near these things. If you have a friend who tells you, just try this once, tell him, no, I'm not going to try it. Turn that request down. Decline. Don't use it. Don't use the drugs even for 1 second, even for one time. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. I see the effect every day in our community. I see it myself. I see it with Muslim families. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know what happens to those who use drugs? Number one, their health, they develop depression, sleeplessness, anxiety, even hallucination. You can tell one who uses drugs, you can tell from his eyes, from her eyes. The way they speak, the way they act, you can tell. They are not normal human being. It impairs their memory. And the effect would go for a long, 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 long time. They tell you that even smoking, to fully recover from smoking, it takes 10 years. 10 years. So this is one. Then you come to social ramifications. Drugs are expensive, are not cheap. Maybe those evil people will give it to you the first time cheap as a gift. But the second time, the third time, when you go to them, they would sell it to you. And usually the youth, they don't have money, they don't work. So how they fund the supply of the drugs for men through what? Huh? Men stealing. This is the typical result. Women, unfortunately, either shoplifting from Marks and Spencer. Does it exist here? Still? Uh-huh. And the other thing is, unfortunately, through prostitution, which is even worse and worse and worse and more damaging. Don't go near these things, brothers and sisters. We have Islam. Let me teach you something. This is through experience. This is a proven, this is a safe drug. Use this drug. This is very safe. Many people tried this and they succeeded. When you are really depressed, confused, life is so dull and dark, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand to the prayers. Read a few verses of the Quran with understanding, with open heart. Tell him, listen, you created me, you sustained me so far, now I'm in a crisis. And you are the one who takes me out of this. Go to Allah. In the middle of the night, take some time, half an hour, in darkness, where no one can see you and no one can hear you. Stand before Allah. Tell him, listen, I don't want to humiliate myself. I don't want to disgrace myself. I don't want to say anything to anyone. I don't want to share this problem with anyone. You are the only one who is worthy of listening to me and helping me. Go to Allah, brothers and sisters. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are Muslims. We can see the way. The way is very clear to us. Let's not go to resort to these methods. This is the solution. Allah is the solution. Imam Hussein is the solution. This is why I want you to make a pledge tonight, while you are sitting here. Make a pledge with Imam Hussein. This night belongs to Al-Abbas, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam. Abu al-Fadl, one of his names is Bab al-Hawaj. He's the gate of needs. That gate, we get through it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that generous gate. Speak to him, open your heart, and tell him, I have this bad habit. Even those who smoke, Those of you who smoke, young, adult, turn to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and tell him, I have this bad habit. I have to put an end to it. Help me. Make a pledge. Those who, God forbid, those who use drugs, I hope no one in this session or elsewhere uses drugs. Those who waste their time in places which are very inappropriate for a Muslim male or female to go there, because nothing is there but the shaitan. When you go to the cafe for shisha and for these things, who's there? You think Allah will be there? In these places there are music, there is dancing, there is mixed gathering, there is chatting in an improper way with the others. Allah does not come there. Allah will turn His face away. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَجْلِسِ الْغِنَى. In a place where songs and music are played, Allah will turn His face away from there. Allah would never look at that session. So if Allah is not there, who will go there? Who will be present there? If Allah and angels are not there, who is going to be there? Satan and his army. The shaitan. Don't go to these places. Not even one time. Don't tell me that my elder brother, my elder friend, or even I saw this alim and this leader. Don't do that. They are mistaken. I mentioned last night, how do we know what is good, what is bad? How do we know that? Imam Ali says, اعرف الحق تعرف أهله واعرف الباطل تعرف أهله. Do you want to know what is good and what is bad? First, you have to know the truth, you have to know falsehood. You have to know what is halal, you have to know what is haram. Once you know that, you will know who is righteous and who is evil. Through following the halal or the haram. So don't go to these places. Imagine if you are sitting there, here you express your loyalty to Imam Hussein, and suddenly Imam Hussein passes by. Just imagine, and he looks at you. Would he be pleased with you? Would he be pleased? He wouldn't. So make this a pledge tonight, brothers and sisters. All. At least one habit, to take out one habit out of our life, out of our practice. One bad habit. Sometimes it is smoking. Take it out. Take it out for the sake of Allah. Take it out. You know how Hong Kong was occupied by this country 108 years ago? You know the reason? How many of you know the reason why Hong Kong was occupied by this country? 108 years ago. Because of what? Because of drugs. The superpowers wanted to dominate and exploit other nations, so they sent drug dealers, drug traffickers. Some of them reached China. Some of them reached China and they were arrested, detained. So this country declared war and they sent, dispatched their navy, and then they went and they occupied one of the most important ports in China, and that is Hong Kong. See? So it has not only social ramifications, even political ramifications. Be very careful, brothers and sisters. Tonight, try to relinquish, make a pledge. Ya Abu al-Fadl Abbas, I have a pledge with you tonight. I have this bad trait, bad habit. I want to quit this. I want to quit this bad habit. Either it is smoking, shisha, going to bad places, dancing, fornication, having illicit relationship with the opposite sex, with others. Put an end to it tonight. And tell him, I want to come next year to this session and I want to see myself changed. If you have a bad relationship with someone, you have to put an end to that. Let's go today to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, brothers and sisters. Let me transfer your heart to Karbala, to his shrine. His shrine, where you find peace and serenity. Wallahi, when you enter this shrine, the shrine of this man, you feel this holiness there. You feel this sense of serenity. You forget about your problems. You forget about everything around you. You know that you are in the presence of a man who gave his soul for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for material considerations. You know that you are in the presence of a man who was so loyal and so responsible to his brother Hussein. He was only 33. He was young. But he was searching for the eternal happiness, not material happiness, not material gain, eternal happiness. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says about him, In the ziyara, in the visitation, أشهد أنك لم تهن ولم تنكل وأنك مضيت على بصيرة من أمرك. I bear witness, I testify, يا أبا الفضل, that you were so serious in your mission that no feebleness or weakness overcome you. You were so aware of what you were doing when you went to this mission with your brother Hussein alayhi salam. Walam tankul, you did not change your mind. Some people in the beginning, they are very serious, but a few days later, they fail. Al-Abbas did not fail. He was there. You know, there were many temptations around him. In the opposite camp, there were some of the enemies who were fighting Imam Hussein, and they were related to Abbas through blood from his mother's side. And they sent him a message. They said to him, Ya Abbas, we need to speak to you. Come to us. We need to talk to you. He said, I'm not going to go. Imam Hussein said to him, Brother, it is true those are enemies. But Islam teaches us that we have to speak in dialogue with our enemies. Just go and see what they want to tell you. He went there. Shimr was there. Imagine, Shimr was there. He said to him, Abbas, we give you amnesty, freedom. We will free you. We will not harm you. Just leave Hussein. Because you are related to the Khalifa through your mother. So for the respect of the Khalifa, we would respect you and give you amnesty. Al-Abbas said, Tabban lakum wa lima ja'tum bih. Shame on you. Disgrace on you. May the curse of Allah be on you. You give me amnesty. The son of Rasulullah, the daughter of Rasulullah, Zainab, has no amnesty. You respect me more than Hussein and Zainab. And you want me to listen to you? This is the real loyalty. This is why Abbas is great. Abbas was not forced to kill himself. He was not forced to do so. But he chose that out of understanding. The penetrating sight that he had, the inner vision, the inner sight. وَأَنَّكَ مَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِكَ مُقْتَدِيًا بِالصَّالِحِينَ وَمُتَّبِعًا لِلنَّبِيِّينَ فَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ رَسُولِهِ فِي مَنَازِلِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ فَإِنَّهُ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. On that night, the night of Ashura, the eve of Ashura, Imam Hussein, Abbas alayhi salam, was guarding the camp. He was the main guard. So he saw something dark among the camp. He shouted, Who's this? A female voice reached him. Ana ukhtuka Zainab. Don't worry. I'm your sister Zainab. I am here. He said, Sister Zainab, what are you doing outside the tent? Qirri wastaqirri. Go back to the tent. Enjoy the peace inside the tent. Don't come out. I'm standing here. I will guard you. No enemy would reach you, so don't worry. She said, No, I'm not worried about enemies. I just wanted to share a beautiful story with you. I have a memory from my mother's time, from my father's time. I just came here since I love you, since you are so close to my heart. And since I know maybe in a few hours from now we're going to part away, so I wanted to share this story with you. He said, Yes. حدثيني فقد حلا وقت الحديث. Zainab, I also want to listen to your beautiful voice. This is an opportunity for you for me to speak to you, to talk to you, to listen to you. She said to him, Habibi Abbas, I'll take you several years ago. Maybe this story goes to 30, 40, maybe 40 years ago. Lamma matat ummuna Fatima. When we lost our mother Fatima. Fatima was so close to our hearts, to our father's house, to our father's heart and feelings. Hazuna alayha abuna huznan shadida. Our father was so restless, so saddened and shocked by her departure. So, after a period of time, he called his brother Aqil, وَكَانَ عَارِفًا بِأَنْسَابِ الْعَرَبِ. His brother Aqil was well aware of the clans and the families in the Arab area, of the lineage. So he called him and he said to him, اخطب لي امرأة ولدتها الفحولة من العرب. I want you to go on and propose on my behalf to a lady which comes from a household of chivalry and magnanimity and a bravery. Aqil turned to his brother and he said to him, وما تصنع بها? Why do you want, why do you insist on a lady who comes from a household, a family of a bravery? He said to him, لأرزق منها ولدا أدخره ليوم الشدة. So Allah will give me, so she will begets me a son, that son I reserve him and keep him to the time of distress. To the time of distress. See, this story goes 40 years earlier. And then she tells him, Habibi Abbas, my beloved brother Abbas, today is the day of distress. My father was referring to today. Al-yawm yawmuk. Al-banat banatuk wal-akhawat akhawatuk. Fala tuqassir fi nusrati akhik al-Husayn. Sisters that are sitting here are your sisters. Daughters are your daughters. And this is your mission and this is your day. Abbas alayhi salam said, Habibati Zainab, my beloved sister Zainab, my life, my blood is for my sisters, my brothers, for you and Imam Hussein. This is why I am here. I'll do my best to protect you. This is loyalty. He was standing on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was becoming increasingly beleaguered. Abbas alayhi salam listened to the screams of the women, to the crying of the thirsty children in the mukhayyam, in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He could not take it anymore. He came to his older brother Hussein. Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, ismah li bil qital. Give me permission to go and fight. I am tired of these enemies of Allah, the hypocrites who do not give us access to water. So let me fight. Let me fight those hypocrites. Imam Hussein each time would tell him, go back. This is not your time. Until the last time Abbas came, he begged Hussein to allow him to go. He begged him. Hussein alayhi salam looked at him with sadness. He said to him, my beloved brother, if you go, أَنْتَ الْعَلَامَةُ مِنْ عَسْكَرِي. You are the leader here. You are the landmark in my camp. If you go, then all my army, all my camp will be disintegrated. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتَ تَفَرَّقَ عَسْكَرِي وَسَقَطَ لِوَائِي. You are the standard bearer. You carry it always. If you go, who will carry the standard bearer after you? Who will carry the flag after you? He kept insisting. At the end, Al-Husayn alayhi salam said to him, إِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَطْلُبْ لِهَا أُولَاءِ الْأَطْفَالِ قَلِيلًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Go on and bring some water for those kids from the river. So he carried the water container with him and he left to the mashra, to the nearest point, to the water line. They gathered aloud around him. He dispersed him with his sword. He got an access. He went to drink some water. Thirst took a toll on him. He was fighting very hard. So he put his hand in the water to drink. Suddenly he remembers. Allahu Akbar. This is loyalty. This is a brotherhood. Imagine you are so thirsty, so thirsty, so tired, dying of thirst. And there is a drink next to you, but you remember you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a wife, you have a child who has no access to this cold water, and you don't drink. Do you find such examples in this life? فَرَمَى الْمَعِينَ مِنْ يَدِهِ وَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ. He did not drink. He did not drink. He remembered that he promised Hussein, he promised Sukaina, he promised the kids in the camp that I will soon bring you the water. And they were gathering and watching him from far away. He could not drink. And then he started talking to himself. يَا نَفْسُ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْحُسَيْنِ هُونِ. يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني وبعده لا كان أن تكوني هذا الحسين شارب المنون وتشربين بارد المعين تالله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا فعال صادق اليقين خاض الماي بس هيس بردة ترس جفة يروي عطش جبدة تذكر لن أخوه حسين بعد ذب الماي من جفة وتحسر ثم بعد ذلك he filled the container and he mounted his horse and he headed to the camp where the women and children were waiting for his arrival. تجمعوا عليه. They gathered around him. He was fighting. He managed to get a leeway. And he was heading fast. A criminal from Bani Umayyah's army was waiting for him, laying in wait behind a tree. When Al-Abbas alayhi salam, he was passing, he strikes him on his right arm. He severs his right arm. Abbas alayhi salam takes the skin water, the water container in his left arm. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini. Barakallah, barakallah bil aswat. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini. This is Bab al Hawa'ij. Remember, if you have a need, remember it now. Make this connection now with him, now with his shrine. I know you live far away, but you can send your soul, your ruh, to the shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas tonight. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini inni uhami abadan an dini وعن إمام صادق اليقين نجل النبي الطاهر الأمين. Then he continued the fight. He was forging ahead to reach the camp of Imam Hussein عليه السلام as soon as possible. While he was on his way, another criminal from Bani Umayyah, he was hiding behind another tree. He strikes him on his left arm. أين المنادي وعباسا؟ وسيداه وعباسا ومظلوما. Then he stood there, Abbas عليه السلام. He's armless now. He cannot fight, but he was still keen on protecting the water to get it to Sukaina and the children there. Allahu Akbar. Fida'a laka ya Abul Fadl. While he was standing there, they took advantage of his weakness. They started raining him with arrows coming from every direction. Another criminal strikes him on his skull, on his forehead. He crushes his forehead. Abbas alayhi salam falls to the ground. Another person sends an arrow, embedded his eyes. He could not see his way anymore. Asah, assalamu alayka ya akha. Ya Aba Abdullah, alayka minni salam. All historians say that this is the first time he calls his brother by his first name. He calls him Ya Hussein, because he says, now this is the only brother can help me. Only my brother can help me here. When he fell to the ground, Imam Hussein rushed to him. He was walking close to him, Abbas alayhi salam. He thought that there is another man coming to behead him. He turned, he said, Ya hada, uqsimu alayka biman ta'bud. أقسم عليك بمن تعبد إلا أمهلتني قليلا ليأتي أخي وابن والدي أودعه ويودعني. I put you to oath in whatever you believe in. Just give me a few minutes so I can see, I can meet with my beloved brother Hussein before I die. The answer came to him, I am your brother Hussein. Abbas, I am Hussein standing next to your head. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein took his head, put it on his lap. Abbas alayhi salam refused, declined to be in the lap of Hussein. He put his head on the floor, on the dust. The last time Hussein turned to him, Ya Abbas, why do you do this? Let me keep your head. He said to him, Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, in a few minutes, who's going to keep your own head? I am doing this for you. I don't allow this to happen to me while your head will be on the dust of Karbala. He stood Imam Hussein from there. Despondent, have no faith in this life anymore. Weeping, screaming. يُكَفْكِفُ دَمَهُ دُمُوعَهُ بِمِنْدِيلٍ. He went back to the camp. The first one was to receive him. The first one to receive him was Zainab alayhi salam. Akhi, my brother Aba Abdullah, what happened? I see you coming back alone. Where is my beloved brother Abbas? Where did you leave him? أختاه ومقروح على المشرع. I could not even bring him back with me here. أريد أحتم الحام الضعين وأدور على يسار ويمين. This is his sister Zainab. She said, I have to go and bring him myself. أريد أحتم الحام الضعين وأدور على يسار ويمين. أحاجيه واشلع سهم عينه وقل له يا عباس وليانا عداكم عقبكم لفا وليانا وحرقوا خيمنا ومبانينا عمدوا الحديد بكربلا يا خسف القمر. Let's recite this together for those who know this. عمد الحديد بكربلا يا خسف القمر من هاشم انفل تبكي عليا مضر او ما دريت عن سرجه العباس خار فمشى إليه السبط يا ينعاه كسر تلان ظهري يا أخي ومعيني نسألك اللهم وندعوك.